The extra pile.
You see her resume there? How does someone have that much time to do all these things? Huh?
Good question.
But did she just add these to the list? Look at this.
We'll call a meeting to order. Roll call.
Michael Gable.
Here.
David Hallman.
Present.
John Poole.
Here.
Andy Berg.
Here.
Greg Retzloff.
Here.
Leah Blau.
Here.
Rick Dodge.
Here.
Anna Sorensen.
Here.
Tyler McCarthy.
We got a yig this time.
Any citizen comments? Be my guest. You're a citizen.
Okay, I don't know where I would speak otherwise. So it says committee members. It doesn't say supervisors. And the thing I thought would be on this agenda is not here.
No, it was too late.
So the chairman of the county board, as well as myself, asked it to be on this agenda and people to be brought to this meeting to discuss an issue that Supervisor Hallman had brought up that I've had issues with for a while, and that's the Kenosha Community Health Center. So I look forward to hearing some type of response on that, and when the meeting will be held, and you know, an overall update of where that's going on. So I'm hoping to hear that at some point during this meeting. So that's all I have to say at this point. Thank you.
John, I talked to you about what we're going to do it next month.
Well, yes, we did have a discussion about the Community Health Center. Just to bring folks up to speed, in March, myself, the county executive, and Cindy Johnson from the Division of Health sat down with the board from the Community Health Center, and Mary Coffey was also present, their executive director. They indicated a strong willingness to want to continue to have discussions on collaboration, mental health services, providing health and dental care in our community. The board indicated, along with Mary, that they were still in the process of searching for a new executive director. And at that point in time, certainly would be willing to sit down with us again, discuss areas that we could work closely and their expansion of services. They did indicate that in this fall, they will be opening up their clinic in Silver Lake. They're planning to move ahead with that. Certainly you can invite folks to come to this meeting. It just won't be the same leadership in the next couple months, which I would think would probably be a better way to start talking to them about what's going on and where they see it. Interesting enough, also Joe Clark has now been added to their board. I believe he started there earlier this year and was positive about the direction he saw them going, at least with their finances and things along that line. So it wasn't as doom and gloom as we were reading earlier this year in the paper, but there still are a number of areas that I think we could work closely together, and given the right team over there, I think we could probably start building that bridge fairly quickly.
That's not what I'm looking for. I mean, that's not what I'm looking for. I can appreciate Joe getting put on it, and I think that's a step in the right direction. The leadership may be different, but you didn't get calls from my constituents that told me that, you know, they were seeing 120 people and they're down to seeing 11, and they let almost all their staff go, and Mary Coffey couldn't even be reached for conversation. So I'm amazed you got her at a meeting. So I'm not comfortable with that whole thing. So that's why I asked to have it put on an agenda, and I mean, our name is on it. This is a community we represent, and while I understand a lot of it is state funding, it's still here, and I want to know what's going on with it.
Well, you know, just not to counter what you're saying, Supervisor Getz, because I agree with a lot of what has gone down there in the past has been certainly questionable, but there are no county dollars in that facility. It's all federal funded. So to get them to this table would be at their pleasure. You would really have no, we have no funding, so we have no direct say or impact on what they're doing. But if this committee so chooses to invite them to a meeting, that's certainly your prerogative.
Leah?
Yeah, so who funds this? Where do they, you said
it's federal,
state?
Federal.
It's federal?
Yeah, federally funded.
See, we really can't go into a discussion on this because it's not an agenda item. But these are all the questions that should be asked. That's why we need to have it on the agenda. I mean, you guys can comment it on it during your board, you know, your committee comments, but I can't go back and forth with you on this. I asked for this to be on an agenda for the specific questions that I raised. And you make a lot of valid points, but that doesn't, it's not what I was looking for, so.
Did you have?
Yeah.
David?
Thank you. I was waiting for you to say my name. I agree with Supervisor Gantz. You know, one of the reasons why I said that we have to sort of sink our teeth into this at least a little bit is because, I mean, it is our staff that is essentially putting folks on medical assistance. And one of the places that they get sent to as sort of a first stop is the community health center. And they have a behavioral health component, which is something I know that we're working on. So if we really want to get all of our hands around that problem and solve it in the most inclusive fashion possible, then we need a fully functioning health center that's firing on all cylinders, taking care of our people. And right now, we don't have that. We have not had that for a while. It's great that Joe Clark is on the board, but their financials were never the issue. The issue was how they dealt with patients, our constituents, and how they dealt with their medical personnel, because they've actually pushed some psychiatrists out the door, which we need very badly. So, you know, I'm a little surprised to hear that they're expanding when they've been cutting other places for seemingly no reason. Their issue is not that they can't make money. They're structured to be able to have the advantage to make money to take the patients that no one else wants to see. And I'll be brutally honest, I know this is on the record. My mother works for one of the hospital systems here in Kenosha. She gets calls every single day from patients who say, well, the health center won't see me, so now I have to go here. But then that location doesn't necessarily want them because they want folks who either have private insurance or marketplace, not necessarily medical assistance.
Rick?
A lot of good points have been brought up. My concern is, like Jeff said, that this discussion maybe shouldn't be going on because it's not an agenda item. And if we're going to discuss it, it should be on the agenda.
John, next month, can we put this on the agenda? Make it the agenda item?
Sure, we can put it on the agenda. Are you asking that we
try to
invite
bring
somebody
in
from that facility?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Can we just have our meeting there? They seem to have, sometimes they don't necessarily want to show.
It's not up to us, though, is it?
Can we make that ask?
Well, I can say if it's more convenient, we'd be mailing to meet at the room.
Yeah.
Can we get a comment? Could we ask someone from whoever, from the federal government? Someone must have some say on this place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they're in Washington, D.C., if they're associated with wherever they may be. Could we ask that person or someone there to attend? I mean, someone has to, go ahead.
Regional HHS out of Chicago. I wanted to have a conversation with, and now I'm blanking on her name, she was a former county executive of Dane County. Before we change presidents, to try to at least start solving this situation, not knowing who would replace her, if she would be replaced, and whether or not we'd be able to get a hold of that person to address this. At least I knew we had some kind of point of contact with her early on, because from when I had done the town hall, I had contacted her office, but I have no idea if she's still there now. But it would be whoever is over Region 5 for HHS, I imagine would be the person that we really want to sit with.
Would that make sense, John, to ask that person if it's a kind of... Or
Depending on what your objectives are, I would.
Well, I mean,
I know they. And then once again, this isn't an agenda item, so I don't want to speak out of turn. So they go through audits and processes like that, which they're passing. So if there's something a little deeper you're looking for, maybe we start with them, and then if you're not satisfied with what you're hearing with them, we can go to the next step. But I don't know that that region.
John, let's put it on next month's agenda, and you let us know whether we meet here or meet over there.
Sure.
Fine.
Sure.
And you've heard the questions.
Sure.
So give them a heads up. Yep. Maybe they'll come up with the answers.
Yep. We'll do that.
Approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Resolution to appoint
Mr.
Nicholas
Galich.
Mr. Chairman,
oh.
I didn't hear the YIG vote. Can we have the YIG vote first?
Houston Governance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aye. Approved. Aye.
Aye. Sit back, Greg. I can't see you. Okay.
Thanks.
Go ahead, John, we're approving.
So I have under number 4, 5, and 6 on your agenda are resolutions to approve appointments of Nick Galich, Christine Weicker, and Dr. Deborah Ford to our Workforce Development Board. They are currently on the boards, and these would all be reappointments. I'd ask your approval.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve all three.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Student government?
Aye.
Youth and government.
It was close enough.
You know,
she's okay as long as someone's asking.
We have some discussion.
Yeah, we no discussion.
We did all three at once. And a motion to approve.
Okay.
Go ahead, David.
Sir, ask for discussion.
One question, and you know, I know we voted and everything, but this is the first time I'm looking at this in this way. So Chancellor Ford's name came up for a search at another university and or college, so you know she's looking at moving on, which is mm-hmm. fine. If and whenever that should occur, which I imagine will be relatively soon, I would wonder if there might be someone else in her administration that might be a better fit. And I'm kind of wondering, when I think about the mission of the Workforce Development Board, why is it that the provost is not the person? I mean, the provost would be the head of academic affairs. If the idea is to line up education and workforce needs, that actually would be a smarter person to have there. And they're not going to find another provost until after they have another chancellor, and that can sometimes take a while. So it would probably be better in this case. But I mean, that's a conversation I had with her. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I can say historically that board has been represented by the heads of the universities and colleges. So. Brian from Gateway sits on it, and Dr. Woodward was the member for Carthage, and certainly Dr. Ford and previous chancellors from the university. So that's just always been the focal point, and they fulfill that mission of getting higher education represented on the board. So in the event that they're not able to make a meeting, they usually send somebody in their place to report back.
Great.
Is there a reason none of them are here?
Yeah, they're reappointments. So that it's always been if they're a reappointment, they didn't have to appear in front of the committee.
I understand that, but I'd be curious, especially in this important of a position, how they perceive how it's going or such. I'd be curious if they, if someone be willing once in a while from this to come and maybe we had some questions or just update us on how they're doing.
Sure.
Not a big deal, I get that, but just a thought.
No, we can do that. That's
okay.
No problem.
And workforce development meetings are open to us if we want
correct.
To go.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Christine Weicker, is that Captain Weicker's wife or somebody?
She's
Chris Weicker is the executive director of the KAC, Kenosha Achievement Center. I don't know.
Her husband might be fire or police. I'm not sure which one, but I think there's some relationship there.
Captain Weicker's on the Sheriff's Department.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's her husband.
Just curious.
Okay.
Any more discussion? David?
One. Sorry. It's the Workforce Development Board, and they get all of the cool stuff from labor statistics that I enjoy so much. Is there a chance we can see more of that?
Sure.
That would be great.
That group meets quarterly. In fact, we have a meeting scheduled in June. June, I believe. Coming up soon. So we'll make sure that data gets bounced. You're welcome.
Is that going to meet at 7 in the morning?
Yeah, 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, mm-hmm. At the job center.
Job center. We've gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
It's a nice board. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Youth
aye.
And governance?
Aye.
I remember. Okay, resolution to retain state funding for the dementia care specialist,
okay.
Oliver.
So you have the Purple Angel flyer, which is what I presented, testified at the joint finance hearing last month, and advocates throughout the, aging advocates throughout the state are encouraging the legislature to continue funding for the dementia care specialists. This program has been going on for about 4 years, I believe, 3 or 4 years, and They had started out with funding from the grant funding, and then added some state funding to the program, and probably about a little over a third, or maybe half of the states or half of the population are covered by counties with these positions. Our dementia care specialist is it's one position, one FTE. We do have there's also a smaller component, a volunteer at exercise program that we call LEAPS that's attached to it. But our main concern is the dementia care specialists and providing consultation to families. As you know, the population is growing, and with that the number of persons with dementia. The position is able to provide that additional time with families to provide that consultation on how they can manage the behavior and other issues that come with dementia. And they happen to use the room next to my office very often for the consultations, and just to see the families going in and the families coming out, and the relief that they feel by understanding more about the disease itself and more about their options. So this a number of other counties have passed resolutions to encourage the legislature to continue the funding for the program.
Move to approve.
You were in Madison. You testified before the committee, right?
In Milwaukee when they had their joint.
Robin Voss. I mean, Voss had an article in the paper this morning supporting this, something they say. So,
Do you get federal funding for dealing with dementia then, under the Older Americans Act?
Under the Older Americans Act. Not specifically, no. We have, under the Older Americans Act federal dollars, we have senior dining program, Meals on Wheels, which would go to some people with dementia. We have a pot of money that we refer to as 3B that has provided support services, and there is some discretion within that money on what you can use it for. And then, we do have a national, FCSP, National Family Caregiver Support Program, that can go to support families of individuals. It could be with dementia or other conditions. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was referring to, is the National Caregiver Support Program. So how many people does that fund on your staff?
That all goes to direct service. We have two pots of money that go to direct service for caregivers. One is this NFCSP from the federal level, and then the state allocated what's called AFCSP, Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program money. That goes directly to pay for services for to support the families. It could go toward their cost of respite care. It could go toward adult diapers. It could go toward putting a grab bar in the, whatever support the family would need to care for their loved one. And there's a limit to the amount of spending.
Great.
Bernie, I have a question. Yeah. When this was first adopted 2 years ago, was this an experimental thing, or was it temporary, or what do you remember exactly?
It was a pilot.
Pilot.
Yeah.
Okay, was there expectations, do you think, of how it went, or was it just, what's your opinion on? I mean, would they, I guess, when they do something like that, they must do it expecting a result?
Yes, and I think that they were very satisfied with the results, because Secretary Rhodes, when she was still alive, she really embraced this program, as well as wanting to expand the AFCSP program for direct services and some other measures for related to dementia. She really championed the cause of dementia. So yes, it did start out as a pilot, but the state was very satisfied and wanting to continue and to expand to other counties as well.
So you haven't heard that they're not going to do this. It hasn't been decided not to do this. What you're just encouraging them to keep it going is what you're asking for, right?
Well, the governor did not put money in the budget for that.
He didn't?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions for Laverne? Motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Student government?
Aye.
Resolution to increase the number of psychiatric professionals in Wisconsin. Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Do I have a second from a real person?
Second.
Yeah, real person.
Real person.
Citizen comments.
Was there a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I put this, I've really been working on this mental health thing for years, and it is something that if we don't get out ahead of, we're going to get run over by it. And I mean, from all different areas, youth, adults, it's just, it's something that's really, I've been working on, and I have a passion for. So I was talking to Laverne before the last county board meeting. What can we do? What can we look at? We had a meeting with John Laverne, myself, Dan Esposito, and two of our court counsel people, which is why the meeting went longer than it should have, but we're there for like an hour and a half. And I took a whole bunch of notes, and we went into the whole mental health thing, not just this resolution, but this is a piece of it. I mean, this is a move to address our lack of psychiatrists, and you know, we need to look at all different areas, but this is a start. So this is the first piece that I wanted to put forward. So if anybody has any questions, Laverne and I worked on this, you know, with the court counsel's office. It just gives incentives, asking the legislature to give incentives for psychiatrists to come and work here. I mean, that's basically what we're looking for. So if you have any questions, we'll handle them, but that's...
We've been discussing this for, God, as long as I've been on this committee. You know, what is the real problem? They not interested in coming to Kenosha? We don't pay them enough money?
Well, it's a whole number of things, but it's not just our county. It's all over. And I mean, it was explained to me the different rungs of where their pay is and where they are on the doctor scale. And, you know, I mean, there's a whole list of reasons. But all we can do is what we can do. I mean, we got to look at beds. We got to look at psychiatrists. We got to look at the nursing staff that can prescribe. We have to look. There's all different ways we have to attack this, and I'm not going to keep quiet till I get where I need to go with this. So I'm going to keep talking about it, pushing it, you know, and keep working on it. And you know, our staff is doing a good job, you know, trying to continue to keep this in the spotlight. But, you know, this is something that, you know, I go back to the two things back when I started that cost us almost $750,000 that our budget wasn't ready for, and it's just, I see more and more and more of it. And, you know, unless we take steps to prepare ourselves, and I don't know what they are, and frankly, neither are you guys going to. I sat in a meeting and picked the brains of people who are much smarter on this than me. All I know is we have to keep moving forward, because if we don't tackle this issue, it's going to run us over. So,
Leah?
Have you talked to any psychiatrists about why, you know, they feel there's a lack of people coming to work here in the county? I mean, or all over? I mean, mm-hmm. What did they say to you?
Well, I'll let Laverne answer that, but we had Dr. Wolf come in here and talk about, you know, mm-hmm. Prescribing right. In different ways, teleconference, that type of thing. I mean, there's all kinds of, we have to start thinking outside the box. So I got a number of different answers when I talked about psychiatrists, and, you know, why don't you give them the two or three that you gave me?
Well, in terms of psychiatrists, I mean, it's a nationwide problem. It's a problem even though we feel it acutely here, it's even worse in the northern counties than it is here. If you ever look at Medscape, they have a list of the, and I think it's psychiatrists are 21 out of 27 in terms of ranking of salary, average salary. And they list the 27 different categories, and psychiatrists are 21 towards the bottom there. So I'm sure that's an issue. In terms of, I don't know that there's necessarily anything specific to Kenosha County, other than we don't have a hospital to attach to it. I don't want to put too much emphasis on that, because John and I learned at a meeting when we met with Aurora Psychiatric Hospital that they felt that there are a lot of psychiatrists, that it's even tougher to recruit a psychiatrist to work in an inpatient facility rather than in the community. So I guess we face the same problems as everybody.
Yeah, and there's also a telepsychiatry place that I just saw on 80th Street in Kenosha.
Right.
Right. You know, do you guys know anything about that place at all?
We do have, we did check, I think, I'm trying to remember if they accepted Medicaid. That's another new, there are other telepsychiatry sites that have, that we've utilized, the professional services group utilizes it in conjunction with our Vivitrol program, and we've used it to refer to patients when we haven't been able to see a psychiatrist face to face. It works for it has worked well for some people, but even those are not easy to establish. Mm-hmm. And people who have schizophrenia or some other more serious and chronic mental illnesses, it doesn't work as well for.
See, they're going to school for this, and they're getting paid way down there on the ladder. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm asking for different incentives that might help them, you know, come into this area.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's only pay, you know. I mean, I just, you know, because I know one of the psychiatrists, well, Matt McCarthy works here. His mom lives here. And I think he had practiced elsewhere before this. And one of the reasons why he came back was because of family, and he knew Kenosha. You know, and I'm just trying to figure out.
I love
how
it. Let's find psychiatrists'
yeah.
families in Mobile.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that one. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
they could be
yeah.
kidnapping.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering how else, you know, other than because he knew somebody who lived here, his mother, he came back to work here, would he have come back otherwise?
Well, you see the problem.
And, yeah.
I mean, we don't have the psychiatrists, we don't have the beds, we don't, you know, I mean, there's so much to do. So this is my start, you know. I mean, you know, next I might attack the beds. Next it might be whatever. I don't know. But
we talked with this at all. The community, Kenosha Community Health Center, we just talked about. Do they have psychiatrists there before as part of their health? And now
they've
they
never
there.
Had psychiatrists.
No, they have
there.
Psychologists.
Okay.
They had psychologists, but they can't prescribe.
It was psychologist or psychiatrist?
They never had a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Is that by design or what?
Probably a recruitment issue. Also, I don't know if they.
It's my understanding that the dentists over there, the dentists, are younger, and they get their student loans kind of forgiven if they do that. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think that was, is that right?
I've heard that as well.
I've heard that also, that they...
Well,
that's kind of what we're asking for
right,
here.
What, could we dovetail, if we are forgiving, or the federal government, I guess, is forgiving dental school loans to these dentists there, could that go a step further? Again,
yeah, that's what we're
again,
asking.
Talking to this
right.
person I'd like to have that runs that full organization, would they have that input or not?
They should know that, and I would say, if you recall, we moved, one of the reasons we have a health clinic in the WIC office over on 63rd and 20th is because that's an identified underserved area in the federal world, meaning that some of our nurses have gone on to get advanced degrees and get those student loans then forgiven if they practice in that facility for X number of years. So that we've used our WIC office to help people become nurse practitioners and things along that line to pay off that debt. So those pockets exist in this community, and I forgot the website. I'll bring it the next time. You can look it up and punch in an address, and it'll say underserved. It qualifies for the federal loan reduction or thing like that.
I don't know. If that, it was just a thought.
So that I'm sure the health community health center over here on 63rd probably is another area that is identified as underserved, where the loan forgiveness is part of that.
That's on to Blackstone WIC office.
Yeah, yeah.
We did talk to them at least a couple of years ago about some kind of partnership related to psychiatry, but it's more complicated for them than just saying yes, and I don't remember all the details. And now with the change in leadership, I think we're kind of waiting to see what the next step is with them, and then see if we can forge a partnership.
I guess, and just kind of one more comment.
Go ahead.
And you and I talked about this. I mean, you know, Aurora's putting in a new health facility, massive amount of money, and they only want the high producing income things like rehab and all those wonderful areas that they made just a fortune. I know you've talked to them about it, and they've probably given you a lot of reasons why they don't make money at that or something.
Aurora or you or United?
Aurora. Is it United moving the new one? Building the new one.
I think Aurora's putting up some new.
I thought it was Aurora. Is there any chance of having a discussion with them about that, or is that pretty much dead? And they're going to say, listen, we don't visit where we're at. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Aurora would tell you they provide the psychiatric services in their hospital up in Milwaukee, and certainly we can utilize that, but that falls under the definition of an IMD. Institution for Mental Disease, which means we're still on the hook for those costs. And there's nothing in any world that you can force a hospital to do those sort of things. Like,
there isn't.
You know, if you're going to build something, you got to put 10 beds.
It's just a shame that, you know.
There's no way to force them?
There's that we're just getting absolutely axe murdered on healthcare costs. Axe murdered. All of us. And what they're interested in is putting it in places that where they make the most possible money. How many rehab services do we need? Right? Do you agree with that?
Well, I know that discussions have been going on with them and the hospitals. I think the executive has talked to them. That'll be my next investigation into beds and providers. But,
okay.
You know, I mean.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good thought. I think about it all the time. But, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Well, I'm just trying to look at all the angles of how we can get psychiatrists around.
Don't we give hospital staff exempt status to survive, you know, to provide community services? Well, I mean, if can't we prescribe what services we need?
When we had a discussion, similar discussion in Corporation Council, certainly you cannot tell them what they need to provide, nor insist that they have mental health beds. That's just, they're running their business as people run their businesses.
I kind of argue at that point, because it's a business, it's a nonprofit business.
Yeah, but you can't, we have no right to dictate that they have beds for mental health or
they have to provide a minimum amount of care, you know, but you can't tell them.
Yeah, they do that in the ER when they stabilize or detox somebody or things along that line, but they're not in it for the long term. Mm-hmm.
Also, Mr. Rose with NAMI attached a letter to this stating their support as well. So Laverne was kind enough to talk with Jack about that and get their support on that too. So it's a good place to start.
All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Chairman, we have the YIG vote first. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, you got to make her vote first, okay.
Aye. Oh, which other's that? Sorry.
He wants to talk, I guess.
David,
he's one of my favorite people, so I want to support him.
It's a roll call vote.
Thank you. I admire what he's put forward. We have a lot of people who become chair of this body and then sit back and offer wisdom. They don't necessarily get as actively involved by putting forward legislation, so this is nice. I appreciate that. I had wanted to do something like this like a year and a half ago, but I was like, we're in the study process. No, wait. So I'm glad to see something. I had thought we should send every single college and university psychiatry department with a lemon tree for like 15 students for the Kenosha Area Visitor's Guide and say, bring her behind here. But I want to go back to what Supervisor Retzloff said earlier. So I pulled up the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Professional Services Administration, so the areas that are designated places of need as far as Kenosha goes. In January of 2012, we were designated for low-income dental. In 2014, we were designated for comprehensive health or primary care. Also in 2014, designated area of need for dental. Also in 2014, mental health. In 2016, still mental health. As of 12/16/2016, our whole county is designated an area for mental health service professional areas in terms of not having enough to meet the population. And apparently it looks like there's three census tracts on here that are in dire, dire need, but those designations come from 2011. This is why I say we should Google stuff.
Any more discussion?
You're up.
There we go.
Are we good?
Aye.
I lost track. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
On the lighter side, you know, I just saw a recent study that says Kenosha County leads number one in the state for binge drinking. Maybe we had more psychologists as bartenders. That could help too, huh?
Maybe we could tie the licenses.
Wait, can we get them to prescribe also?
They are.
That's going to raise the cost of drinking.
Okay, updates on behavioral health programs. That's be Laverne again, right?
Yes.
Well, yes, in our meeting that our hour and a half meeting.
It wasn't our fault.
Supervisor Gentz also asked me to provide some detailed information on what we've been doing, a kind of update on mental health. And so, John and I thought this would be an opportunity to update the whole committee as well. And so I just want to go over some of the things that that go into it. It's not just psychiatry, it's not just beds, it's a whole kind of compendium of services that affect both the outcomes for individuals as well as costs for the county. But I want to preface this with, we have a real risk facing us, and I think I talked to you back in November or December about possible risks with health care legislation and what it could mean to our services. And there are some real risks. So all the things that we've been doing can be affected by congressional proposals as well as some state proposals right now. On the congressional level, with the American Health Care Act, there are several points that I'm concerned about. One is the big one is Medicaid and the Medicaid block grants or capitated payments, and what that would mean. I mean, the goal is to reduce Medicaid expenditures, and we don't know how that would translate in Wisconsin, but it could certainly drastically affect, if we get cuts in Medicaid, could affect our services and put the bill back on the county potentially. The other is the proposed amendment to the American Health Care Act. They've been talking about doing away with protection of pre-existing conditions, and that certainly can affect some of the people that we serve and whether they would be then eligible for coverage. So all of the, and then on the state level, I think I mentioned before about there was a prediction that the federal government under the current administration would be more open to state requests for waivers in the Medicaid program. And the state has just announced to the Medicaid director, actually they had a hearing yesterday in Milwaukee about this. They're requesting a waiver regarding the Medicaid coverage for childless adults. We have about 4,800 people in Kenosha County who fall into that category. And the, a few years ago, the state legislature opened up the Medicaid program to that group for childless adults who are under the poverty level. When they opened that up, it allowed a lot of people, we worked real hard to enroll eligible persons with mental illness into the Medicaid or BadgerCare program. And I know, I think we counted the first year about 500. I don't know how many of those 4,800 people have mental illness. But it did open up the door and allowed us to, it's ended up not only providing access for them to both primary and mental health care, but it also saved us a significant amount of money in some of our costs. So I'll just talk about that a little bit as I go through this, but, and I'll try to be quick about it. But the first, I mentioned the Mental Health Resource Center, Mental Health Substance Abuse Resource Center. We continue to see people there. That's the entry point into our mental health care system. So they're doing screening for it to determine eligibility for various programs, as well as assisting people in applying for health insurance. The two programs that have, one program specifically that has grown tremendously is the Comprehensive Community Services. That provides case management and treatment and other services both for people with mental illness and for people with substance abuse disorders. So with that program, we and the state kind of recognized the value of that program a couple of years ago when they decided that they would provide a state match for the federal Medicaid dollars. In the past, it was a small program because only federal Medicaid dollars were available, and we didn't have the money to match that. The state has expanded that program so that they're providing the match, and we have both. This reflects just the numbers of adults, but the juveniles with mental health have mental health concerns have also been enrolled in the program. The now, but this is. Dependent on people being eligible for Medicaid, so how in the future whether they will be eligible with both federal and state changes, we don't know. Counseling services, if you look at the, it's pretty dramatic in terms of what we're paying, but that's on the, still on the first page at the bottom, county-funded counseling, and if you look at how dramatically are the number of people have dropped that we're covering. It's not because people aren't getting the services, but it's because Medicaid or insurance under the Affordable Care Act, their access to insurance has covered those costs so that we no longer have to cover those individuals. On the next page, we'll talk a little bit about I guess I should mention too, with regard to counseling, we have as a preventive kind of service, we have also added peer support specialists who've been invaluable. These are people who've gone through recovery themselves, particularly with persons who have had drug dependency, and they've gone through it. They've gone through treatment and in our recovery, and they're really. Very effective in encouraging other people to go to their counseling sessions, to go to group therapy, to continue their path of recovery. In psychiatry, I think we discussed that pretty thoroughly, but the just a couple of things I wanted to mention. We are waiting on still waiting on a grant request for a 1.0 telepsychiatric site or two half-time telepsychiatry sites. And then very interestingly, when we talked about Dr. McCarthy and coming back to a community because of family, Jack Rose in particular and others have had the idea of growing our own, so to speak, and encouraging people who want to be here to help them to get advanced degrees. And so they've started with the bequest that was given to part, half of it to the Bridges Community Center and half toward scholarships for people that want to pursue advanced degrees related to mental health. They just started, they've been working with the attorneys who are managing that estate, and they've just issued a request for applications for the scholarship. Now there's a thought that maybe that fund could grow, starting with Martha Holloway, was the lady's name, who left the dollars. Maybe that could grow into a larger fund that could help support people toward pay for their advanced degrees. We do know that there's one individual who is working toward toward a psychiatric nurse practitioner degree and is committed. He's just very committed to Kenosha County and to working with kids and wants to. I think it's going to take him about 18 months, but hopefully he will be working here in that capacity. Medication is certainly another preventive measure, and ensuring that people with serious mental illness get their prescribed medicine so that the conditions don't exacerbate. There too, though, I want to point out, the if you look on that chart, you'll see how our costs for prescriptions have been reduced. Again, that's because of coverage by health insurance and Medicaid. The next page has our adult crisis and emergency detention information, and this, I think Lori might have presented this as part of her fiscal report as well. But our adult crisis contacts went down slightly in 2016, and a number of emergency detentions have declined significantly. And part of the reason is that I think some quality improvement. It's probably a combination of reasons, but one is that we have we started late last year with a quality improvement project that allows crisis workers to work with law enforcement to meet individuals outside of the emergency room. And so they've met at KIDS or at like the Pleasant Prairie Police Department and other locations, and been able to manage the situation and de-escalate the crisis so that people could return home rather than have to be hospitalized. So they're going to continue that this year. We did approve an position in the crisis budget to which would hopefully allow more.
Ask you real quick, will this be affected by when that old gateway is open?
Yes, it will help. That would be a place where they would be able to meet.
So these numbers may look even better. Would you?
Hopefully, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
Laverne, this as part of our marathon meeting. We did talk about what actually happens when there's hospitalizations or preventative and cutting off having the hospitalization, right, Laverne? We talked about different ways that once they go into the hospital, then they're funneled through the system, and we're trying to find places like our new center, you know, in other areas that we can cut it off and solve it before it gets to that point. So that's another thing that's, you know, bodes for some study, you know, how we can handle that. I mean, I thought about popping those centers up all over the place, you know, but I got shot down. But believe me, I'm still thinking about other ideas. So, you know, I mean, it's easy to get a report and hear about things, but I was enlightened in this meeting on how this actually works. What is the, okay, you know, Joe Smith has this situation, walk me through how that goes, and one of the attorneys handled that, so I got an enlightening view of how that goes. And if we can cut some of that off and they don't go to the hospital, they don't get put in the system, and the big bucks are eluded. So we really have to work on prevention and helping stop that. So, just mine.
Can I follow up with it? And Jeff, you and I have had this conversation about the let's say we do get away from having that, and we were prepared, we were, as a county, we flipped that money for those emergency situations, I mean, to a tune of $1 million, right? I mean, whatever that number was. Okay, at budget time, will you be able to make some type of saying, with the new facility we're gonna have and with these numbers, here's what, if we had this, this is what we would have saved. Is that something you could do? Here's, I guess, let me back up. If you could look at what those people went for, the reason that they were put in those facilities, is that something that your staff could look at and say, you know what, if we had this, that wouldn't have happened? Is that something you can do or not necessarily?
I think we could look at, we started this NIATX, which is a system improvement in September, correct, of 2016. I think we could look at the number of people we've diverted from the hospital since that point in time. And maybe compare that to the previous year, the numbers that went in, and that might give you a rough.
Yes.
You know, we were able to keep people out of the ER by meeting with them here, and therefore not at the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my point too is, if we knew that number, and it was also on the budget committee, our finance committee, if we knew that number, maybe we can make some decisions about freeing up dollars for some other Jeff's concerns, like pay for a psychiatrist or say, I'm just looking for money that, you know, we're just so, right, we have to throw up to $1 million a year without, you know, it's just, we have to. As we get away from that, maybe we can make some other decisions that would help some of these other problems. I don't know, it's just me just wondering if that's even worth going through that exercise or not.
It is. I'm a little afraid of overselling. I think that the new care center will give us new opportunities to divert more people, but I don't know to what extent, and I don't want to oversell it because there are people who do need hospitalization. And if you look at the next page in terms of kind of our experience with the hospitalization, we've decreased the number of people. Our hospitalization overall has dropped by 27% over the last 5 years. It's the problem has been that that with the reduction in St. Luke's beds, without access to beds there, we have had to pay more money to send people to the institutes, or in some cases to Aurora Psychiatric, and so we're paying a lot more than we had been in the past. But actually, our numbers have gone down of hospitalizations. I don't know how far down that will go because there are some people that do need hospitalizations.
Leah?
Oh, Laverne had already answered my question. I was going to ask about the program. Would it include nurse practitioners? And you had just said that you have one that's currently in school that will probably come back to work for Kenosha County, so that's good.
Yeah. I guess I got a question. Is there anything we can do to help recruit? I mean, Parkside offers a psychology course, right?
Our problem isn't so much the psychologist as it is the psychiatrist. We need prescribers, people who can prescribe. And so that would be either a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse practitioner is what would be.
We can't recruit, I mean, out of Illinois, I mean, it's gotta be nicer to live here in Wisconsin than down in the Flatlands.
We did have, last summer, there was a Kenosha Human Development Services recruited a psychiatrist. We thought we were really in like Flint, and then he left after he got a better offer. But they did hire a full-time nurse practitioner.
And if you recall, we had Dr. Brian Wolf, who's a psychologist, come and talk to you about several things one time, and one was how they were lobbying to try to get the state to allow psychologists to prescribe, given the appropriate training. So that's something we certainly talked about with Supervisor Gens and me. We talk about.
Which is a good idea, by the way.
Which should be your next resolution, by the way.
It was a resolution.
Yes.
Oh, we had one last
one. And
sorry.
That one is not supported by the national NAMI, but for local reasons.
Yeah,
but
We sent that one up to Madison already.
Yeah,
that's good. That's to me
unbelievable. Yeah. We need to send another one up.
with my name on it. I'll just keep sending them. Because I'm going to keep talking about it until I get this.
And the reality of that is that your Walgreens pharmacist knows more about those drugs than the people who script them. No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's what he told us.
It is. So it's not. It's a fact. Trust me. Those people know way more than the people scripting those things. Even if they're professionals, they don't know what they're doing.
I got a question about drugs. I asked my druggist.
You should.
Yeah.
The Walgreens guys and the know way more than you're thinking.
And
you're
the doctor probably. Just looks it up in a book, doesn't he? Not that I'm bad mouthing doctors.
If you're interested in how they purchase their drugs, it's beyond belief. Attractive people show up in doctors' offices, go in with all their samples and bombard them with them, and that's how that whole industry is done. You're a trained professional person that's a pharmacist is the one that knows all that stuff, and he or she learns that's highly compensated and is under immense training, continuing ed, and it's just my opinion, but that's reality of that, and why your organization you represent is so clueless on that, why they wouldn't support that.
Organization?
It doesn't mix them up.
Clarify. What are you talking about?
NAMI.
NAMI, that you represent us with, have sit and tell them that.
He's NACO, not NAMI.
Yeah.
I thought you were involved with them too. All right, sorry. If you ever are, you should just wait till the next time.
I keep looking at you like, what are you not like?
I thought you represented that or something. I'm sorry.
Maybe. For NACO?
No, NAMI. He thought you were a NAMI.
Not to the best of my knowledge. Unless something changed between where I lived. My house is daddy.
Yell at you for something.
I apologize.
You just got that look, David.
I give them a listening ear. Everybody gets that.
Down in Illinois, are the nurse psychiatrists, are they allowed to prescribe?
the psychiatric nurse practitioner, that's an advanced.
Yeah, because they're under a doctor's license. Yeah.
In Illinois, they can prescribe.
Oh, in Illinois? Oh, the psychologist?
Not psychologist.
Oh, Iowa? I read.
No, there was a couple states that were looking at legislation.
Just if I can just on the hospitalization front, two things. We John and I will be participating in discussions with Racine County. We're going to kind of exploratory at this point, and because they're concerned about the IMD costs as well, and to see what we might, if any recommendations that we might be able to make to the legislature on that. And then on this waiver request that I mentioned, there, in addition to some of the stuff that I don't particularly like in their waiver request, they do have a part that I do like, which is a request to the federal government for a waiver that would allow a federal match for the people age 22 to 64. That's why we have this problem that Medicaid doesn't cover people 22 to 64 in an IMD. So part of this waiver request is to allow that. So that's, I think, a good direction for this.
So that would pay the hospitals more money if they took them in, right? Is that what you're saying?
It would be coming from Medicaid instead of from us.
Yeah,
they get paid now, but they get paid from us, from county, other counties.
You're looking at that with Racine County, Rock County too, or Walworth, or?
With right now, we're just talking, having discussions. We're going to start. We haven't even started the discussions yet. It's going to happen this month. Discussions about the IMD costs and any alternatives that we can conjure up to recommend. And then the waiver request is a separate item.
With your discussions with Racine, what are some things that we could partner with them to do? Obviously, we can't create a Kenosha Racine Hospital, which would allow us beds and IMDs and that kind of stuff. What can we do with Racine County that can alleviate some of the pressure? And what are the talks going to be about?
Precisely that. What are some things that we can do together, or that we could recommend to do? I don't know that I have, I'm trying to remember what particular ideas I have.
No, I think it was more of a what could we do, maybe even legislatively, to get some things changed that would alleviate some costs to the local taxpayer.
Yeah, we need somebody who knows the rules so that we can get around them.
David?
That's what we need to do. I mean, we can ask the legislatures to do something right all along, but if they're not doing it, we're still in the position we're in. What can we do? What can we do with Racine County that can alleviate some of the pressure? We have to figure out exactly what the pressure points are and then figure out how we can alleviate them.
David?
To answer your previous question, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to start charging for my time researching things.
You're getting paid right now.
Now, this is extra because we all have devices that we can all be looking things up. It's not just me. Apparently, Idaho decided to allow psychologists to prescribe medications. This is from the American Psychological Association, a press release dated April 5th. Idaho is now on the list with, Illinois in 2014, Louisiana in 2004, and New Mexico, which was the first state to pass a prescribing law in 2002.
Charge.
Laverne, you're talking about shared services? I mean, like Racine would do psychiatric,
not necessarily. I think probably more toward what John was saying about the, in terms of recommendations that we could make to the legislature, but certainly also, you know, we always are looking for opportunities to work with Racine County in any area that we can, and if there's something in this area that would...
You know, it's been anywhere from conversations to have the state pay those first 4 days of somebody being in an IMD, and if they stay longer, the counties would pick up some of that cost, you know, kind of some shared responsibilities there. So things along that line are even changing. That had to be a federal change as far as the waiver to get Medicaid to cover IMDs between 22 and 64, but working with them and legislators in our area to see if we can push through some changes. And I know the Wisconsin County Human Services Association is also looking at some resolutions they want to pass on to the state about sharing costs and covering expenses in IMDs.
Any other business authorized by law?
I know I had mentioned the last time of possibly holding our next meeting at the Gateway Mortgage Building where the care center is going to be. But if we're going to have the community health center, we'll probably either be here or at their office, depending on the response. So maybe plan on that in July or somewhere around there.
John?
Yeah, when is the care center scheduled to open then?
Well, I believe they get the keys to the facility, if not this week, early next week. The money, I think, has been approved for the remodeling. So we'd be looking at doing that starting soon, and hopefully by January of 2018 is kind of what we're targeting, but it could even be before that, depending on how things progress.
It seems like a long time.
Yeah. It's quite a bit of work, and it's CBRF, so you got to get the state in there to approve everything you're doing, windows, bathrooms, doors, and the whole world. So it's a process.
Andy, did you have a question?
On the next topic. On the next agenda.
Sure.
Are we going to have a Brookside tour anytime soon? I know they're doing tours now, correct?
They did one yesterday for the trust, or Monday for the trustees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday.
Is it done? The place done?
Very close.
They'll be moving the residents into the new area on May 17th, and then they'll start the construction and remodeling of the current Brookside facility. So certainly, I think they'd be open to giving tours. And you're right, we went through it yesterday, and a lot of progress. So
that was my third tour. Looks a lot better.
Yeah, you can.
Every time I go, it looks better.
Well, you can give a tour.
They got my would it benefit us to go like next month or the month after that, or later in the year?
Well, the
Brookside tour would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, starting May 17th, that new building will have folks in it. Not that that's necessarily disruptive, but right now you'd go through it and, with a little more freedom, perhaps, just look into rooms and see what's going on. So I would, if you're wanting to do something like that, I could reach out to Fran and come up with some dates and times. Are you suggesting after 5 or as part of the Human Service Committee meeting or what?
If you're going to do a
we could have a meeting there.
You know, we're doing it next Monday.
Oh.
Well, let's.
I know, Tom. I was. Do you know when the managed care contract is up for renewal?
No, I don't.
I could actually keep that one. Okay. Put that in the note to find out. Maybe if we're over there, we could put that on. If we do go to Brookside meeting, if we had a meeting here, we could put that on the agenda. We've got to look at getting out of that because that's the cost of such. You and I, we talked about in the committee about that. It's well, cost us money. Brookside Medicare subplans are all with Humana's on managed care.
Managed care. Yeah, managed care, it seems to be taken away from their the money that they would get from Medicare. Right. Yeah.
And now that that facility is so nice, we shouldn't have to discount, my opinion. The other rest would think the same way.
I know I on my tour yesterday, sometimes you learn more when you get the department heads off to the side. I got Ray Arbert off to the side, and it was myself and maybe John O'Day. And we noticed that they have exit signs above the door, and they got one down near the bottom of the door. And we asked him, he said, well, I'm glad you asked. I wasn't going to tell you. I said, well, why is that? He says, that is a new regulation from the Kenosha Fire Department. Maybe you were in on that, John. Yeah, from the Kenosha Fire Department, was approved by the City Council, which added a $35,000 cost to Brookside in order to do that. And the only place in the state of Wisconsin, 72 counties, that requires that.
Was there a reason?
I think probably because of the smoke.
If smoke, if you're crawling on the floor, you can then see the exit sign. I believe that's the
probably
rationale.
The thought, yeah. Well, why didn't they just put the one down near the bottom?
Because that's a federal regulation having up there.
Yeah.
That was $35,000?
$35,000 to put those extra exit lights in at Brookside. $35,000.
Oh, yep. Any other business authorized by law? Committee member comments? Other
I just made mine.
You know, I will say, I'm going to tell you guys all when you get up to the board, but we did our go live at Joint Services starting at 7 o'clock last night, and the building didn't blow up. So we're in good shape. I went over there and I walked through all the departments, the dispatchers, and I'm really proud of them because, you know, without some change management, you know, old stubborn Germans like myself, it's hard to change. So when you go from one system to another, I mean, they're doubling up the dispatchers and they've got the people that designed the system in there. So it's going really well. So I just wanted to give you that feedback. But thank you.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
That's a nasty yig.
He sees yig prejudice.
This is your last one?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't want this in the minutes, but this is my last meeting. So.